cold-heartedness of the citizens. You know, like, how can people be so cold-hearted about this and say some of the shit they were saying?
Well, that I think that comes from the indoctrination of obedience to the state.
Yeah.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people,
right?
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right, if we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal. That if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?
Tonight on the Kershaw County Liberty Report, we're going to be discussing the final rule, ATF final rule, 2021 R-08 Foxtrot, factoring criteria for firearms with attached stabilizing braces. At the state level, we're going to talk about the Freedom Caucus and whatever that is, the loyalty oath by the GOP, the state GOP.
The games they're playing yet again.
One of the most liberal GOPs in the nation. And then at the local level, we're going to talk about the Kershaw County Comprehensive Plan and the Planning and Zoning Commission. So welcome to the Kershaw County Liberty Report. I'm Matt.
I'm Jeff.
Jeff.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks for coming back. Make sure you like, share, subscribe, tell your friends. Where you want to start, Jeff? Let's talk about this ATF rule real quick, okay? So the Attorney General of the United States signed this ATF final rule, and this is basically the ATF decides that if you have a short-barreled rifle, which is less than 16 inches, I believe, and it doesn't have a butt stock on it, or you can't put a stock on it, is what they're saying. It has to be fired like a pistol. So you could have a 5.56. Or 223, you know, rifle with a 15-inch, 14-inch, 12-inch barrel, you're not allowed to put a butt stock on it to hold it up against your shoulder.
Right.
They call that a stabilizing brace. All right.
Just another attempt to just whittle away at our natural right to keep and bear arms for self-defense.
I wonder why.
I wonder why.
I'm going to read this real quick. Sure. On January 13th, 2023, the Attorney General signed ATF Final Rule 2021 R-08F, factoring criteria for firearms with attached stabilizing braces, amending ATF's regulations to clarify when a rifle is designed, made, and intended to be fired from the shoulder. So, first of all, I don't know who the hell gave the ATF this much power to decide how we configure our weapons, but whatever.
It's the regulatory state.
Right. It was the Gun Control Act of 1968. The rule outlines the factors ATF would consider when evaluating firearms equipped with a purported, quote, stabilizing brace or other rearward attachment. So, like, if you cut a golf ball and put it on the end of your buffer tube, that could be considered a stabilizing brace, and you could go to prison for that. They would to determine these weapons would be considered a rifle or a short-barreled rifle under the Gun Control Act of 1968, or a rifle or firearm subject to regulation under the National Firearms Act. The rules amended definition of rifle clarifies that the term designed, redesigned, made or remade, and intended to be fired from the shoulder. So if you 3D print a little foot, a little butt on the end of that thing, you can go to prison. It includes a weapon that is equipped with an accessory component or other rearward attachment, e.g. a stabilizing brace, that provides surface area that allows the weapon to be fired from the shoulder, provided other factors, as listed in the definition, indicate the weapon is designed and intended to be fired from the shoulder. So why does this matter, Jeff? Why does it matter whether a 12-inch barrel that fires a 223 has a stock on the end of it or not? What do you think?
I don't more accurate. It could very well be a lot more accurate.
Mm-hmm. It'll help you. It would make the weapon concealable, more concealable, and accurate. This rule does not affect stabilizing braces that are objectively designed and intended as a stabilizing brace for use by individuals with disabilities and not for shouldering the weapon as a rifle. Such stabilizing braces are designed to conform to the arm and not as a buttstock. However, if the firearm with the stabilizing brace is a short-barreled rifle, it needs to be registered with 120 days of the date of publication in the Federal Register.
And that's like 16 inches, isn't it?
16 inches. Anything less than 16 inches is considered a short-barreled rifle. Or SBR is what they'll call them. The rule is effective. It
sound like Ruby Ridge or something, huh?
Yeah, wasn't that a sawed-off shotgun that got
like a quarter of an inch or something.
Yeah. The rule is effective the date it is published in the Federal Register. Any weapons with stabilizing braces or similar attachments that constitute rifles under the NFA must be registered no later than 120 days after the date of publication in the Federal Register, or the short barrel needs to be removed and a 16-inch or longer rifle barrel attached to the firearm, or permanently remove and dispose of or alter the stabilizing brace such that it cannot be reattached, or the firearm is turned into your local ATF office. Your local friendly ATF office. Or the firearm is destroyed. Please note that this is the text of the final rule, blah, blah, blah. All right. So let's
get into mine. I lost them.
Everybody.
I don't know what happened to those things. Yeah. I think we were out on the river, and it fell over.
Kicked out while you were fishing?
I think it fell overboard left, I remember.
Somewhere in the watery river. So who's affected by this rule? Every American is affected by this. But here's their list. This is off the ATF website. Unlicensed possessors are affected. Federal firearms licensees not under the NFA as a Class 1 importer or Class 2 manufacturer. FFL importers or manufacturers. There's a bunch of acronyms. I don't know what these words mean. Or certain governmental entities can even be affected. So, you mentioned Ruby Ridge, right? Tell the story of Ruby Ridge, Jeff, and what happened.
Well, to hit the high points.
Mm-hmm. It's a long story.
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. But Dennis Weaver was living basically in the woods with his kid and his wife. And he was a pretty fair gunsmith. Mm-hmm. And
he was a Green Beret in Vietnam.
Yeah, he was a Green Beret in Vietnam. And he had been hassled for a while. And there was a plant put in there.
Yeah, an FBI, undercover FBI, pretending to be, it was like a white separatist movement or some kind of white supremacist group up there that kept bugging him to fix up their weapons,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he kept telling them no.
No, I won't do it. Yeah. It's against the law.
Right.
It's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
And they tricked him into cutting a shotgun off below the legal limit.
Yeah.
And by a quarter of an inch.
Yep.
And it was, I think, a tricking in the measurement.
Yeah, where they measured it in a different spot, right?
Yeah.
So he actually did it legal, and they just measured it short because they thought, first of all, he's a Green Beret from Vietnam. He's dangerous, right? He's living off the grid with his family. That's weird. He's probably dangerous. And now he's going to solve shotguns for white supremacists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to set examples across the whole spectrum of potential rebels.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For lack of a better word, you know, that's kind of become a derogatory term. But and they went after him and went after him hard, ended up shooting his wife and his kid.
This is before Waco.
Yeah. Waco was another example of government brutality. It didn't matter if those were Branch Davidians or it wouldn't have mattered one iota.
They figured they didn't do any real surveillance on this guy. Right? So this is what has come out in the aftermath. That two FBI agents dressed up in ghillie suits and tried to sneak up onto the cabin so they could see what was going on. But they got real close, and the Weaver boy and his dog were out walking the woods. And they ended up shooting the dog because it alerted that they found him. You know, they found these two guys in ghillie suits. They shot the dog, and I think the boy shot back and took off running. And they shot this little boy in the back.
Yeah, shot him dead in the back.
Then there's a siege on the house and all this, and Randy Weaver's pregnant wife ends up getting shot by a sniper and killed. But I don't think she died fast. I think it was a slow death in there. And then
with the baby in her arms.
Oh, yeah, she had a baby
in her arms. With a baby in her arms.
Yeah,
sniper shot her. The brutality of government in these Second Amendment cases.
Mm-hmm. This militarized
is always, always so brutal that it causes pause when people think, you know, about guns and all. Well, and since Al Capone and the Tommy gun and all, and the NRA selling our ass down the road.
Yeah, they're useless.
With the classification between a civilian weapon and a military weapon, because if you go with the original intent of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you would have possessed the same weapons as the military.
Yeah, you should be able to call up Julian Burns and place an order to get some of the weapons he sells.
Well, I mean, it would be kind of stupid, but for me to have a M1 Abrams tank in my yard to protect myself, but I should be able to buy one if I'm stupid enough to do it.
Right.
Using it is a whole different matter.
Well, the argument would be, they would say, well, you know, back then we didn't have
it's always yeah, it's always
whatever, but that's people forget that muskets were that we had rifled muskets and we had rifle, you know, we had muskets.
The history of guns and
cannons,
all
you could buy
is,
cannons.
The guns are always improved by private industry, and military is always late to adopt them because they're buying shit that is already old in the stockpile.
Right.
So they have to kill a whole bunch of people in order to get rid of them damn guns before they buy the new ones.
Like, we got to make a new one,
right? So the ATF is going to do what the ATF is going to do, but the fundamental thing to remember is they don't have any power.
No.
Get rid of this illusion in your head that the government can tell you any kind of rule or regulation about your Second Amendment right to self-defense.
Right. Now, they'll kill you over it.
Oh, yeah, they'll kill you over it.
They'll kill you in
your family. They're a bunch of they're a mafia that doesn't like competition.
Right.
And all the popo, damn near all the popo, will strip you of your guns in a skinny minute or regulate you completely out of the game.
Our own Sheriff Lee Bone was on video saying his opinion. He's told you his opinion on the Second Amendment.
Keep your guns at the house, all the guns you want.
Yeah.
That's where your Second Amendment rights
end at your property line.
End at your property line.
All right, so if you guys want to see that video, go on to Jeff Maddox on YouTube, and you can see the video right there.
Yeah, there's several with that recording in there.
Mm-hmm. And people don't even believe me, and they don't even want to listen to it. A friend of mine was supposed to have a meeting with Sheriff Bone and ask him about this pistol brace ban and get his opinion on it and how he was going to handle it. And I said, man, I'll save you some gas money. I'll tell you exactly how he feels about it. Whatever big government says and it comes down the hill onto him, he's going to enforce it, period. Whatever the federal government says, he's going to enforce it, period. He don't care about your individual liberties. He doesn't care about the Constitution. If the federal government says it's illegal, and he'll bust your skull open to enforce it.
Yeah. All right. Number two on the list.
Number two on the list. And this is weird. Freedom Caucus.
Freedom Caucus in South Carolina, so, you talking about?
Yeah.
So not the one on the up at the swamp.
No. Well, this is it's a national movement, but the South Carolina, there's about 20 legislators in South Carolina that joined this Freedom Caucus at this new election cycle. So the South Carolina,
they're all Republicans.
Yeah, South Carolina State GOP saw what was happening because people were running against other Republicans. These you had Donald Trump Republicans, and then you had Lindsey Graham Republicans.
Well, right? I have a friend that won this past election against an incumbent.
Right.
His name is J. Kill Martin. Mm. He's so now he's in the state house rep, and he's one that they quoted in the article about he couldn't take this oath and stood up and said, "No, how are you going to say that I can't speak about another?"
Right. What the state GOP did, Drew McKissick and all these scumbags, they drew up this loyalty oath, right? And they'll say, no, it's not that. But they basically changed the rules saying, if you want to claim to be a Republican, you cannot run against a Republican incumbent. And they wanted all these people to sign this loyalty oath.
This is a wonderful example of scared.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely scared.
They're scared. They're shaking a little bit. They're going, uh-oh, there's 20 of these boogers.
Yeah.
There's 20 of them now.
And more is coming.
2 years ago, there was only about five, maybe a handful of five.
Yeah.
And a couple of those have left.
Yeah.
But 20 is a significant number, so even in the House.
According to Fitz News, I just read their article. This came out about 3 or 4 days ago. 16 out of those 20 Freedom Caucus members have been kicked out of the state GOP for refusing to sign this loyalty oath. So what the folks need to do is call your state rep and ask them, first of all, do you support the Freedom Caucus or did you sign the loyalty oath? Both of them. Ask those questions. I called District 52's rep today, Ben Connell. He's newly elected. He's one of the fresh faces there. And I talked to the secretary and what's up?
Go ahead and tell us what.
Well, I asked her, well, is Representative Connell available? No, he's not available right now. Okay. Do you know, is he a member of the Freedom Caucus? She's like, I can't answer that question. I don't know. I was like, oh, okay. Well, do you know if he signed the loyalty oath? He'd have to answer those questions. I can't. I said, okay, well, leave him a message for me. And tell him to make sure he calls me back because I have his cell phone number. He don't answer I think he got blocked or something. But he don't answer my cell phone calls.
Well, you know what he told me one time when after a heated contest in county council, he said, "Jeff, I'm libertarian leaning," and I said, "Oh no, you are not.
You're." Communist leaning.
Oh my God! But so I don't picture him being part of the
only part of the Libertarian Caucus. Party that he believes in is probably religious freedom.
Yeah,
probably the only thing he agrees with in libertarianism. So he
doesn't believe much in limited government.
No.
He
loves himself some public, committees, man. He loves committees.
Yeah, public-private partnerships. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God, this thing. What is a public-private? The blending of government and private corporations. What is that? Great day.
I think we've seen that happen before.
Moose. There was a moose guy. Mussolini. Mussolini. Yeah,
not a pasta dish.
Something about fascist or pasta dish.
That's racist, Jeff. You can't say that. It's racist against Italians.
Yeah, damn Italians.
All right, so call your state rep. If it's Ben Connell, if you're in District 52, call him. Ask him. Hold your feet to the fire and see what the heck's going on. Yeah, I don't know what the Freedom Caucus really stands for. I'm not a Trump fan. Per se, I love some of the shit he says. I think he's hilarious, and I think having him as the president was pretty fun.
I think it doesn't matter. It's a clown show, and laugh at all of them.
It's circus and bread and circus is all it is.
Yeah, right? As far as the Freedom Caucus up there and all, hopefully they can stir some stuff up. I don't know what they. I don't know if they've got a list of things that they would like to do.
I don't really know
much about them.
Yeah.
I quit going up to the State House a number of years ago. I used to spend lots and lots and lots of time up there. I know how the ins and outs work. I know how dirty I felt when I came home and I wanted to take a shower. You know what I mean? I really, really did. Yeah. It's like going to the synagogue of Satan. Mm-hmm. Everything around that Capitol building is dark.
It is dark.
There's obelisks all over the place, phallic symbols. There's gargoyles on all the lamp poles and all. Look at the porch inside. There's like dragon heads holding the thing up. There's a checkerboard floor. There's all kinds of crazy
big
shit.
Scepter at the front from the king of England.
Yeah, it's Moloch.
Yeah.
That's, South Carolina's Moloch.
Well, they even wear robes, colored like silk robes and all that shit.
Yeah, it's wild, man. Yeah.
So, if you don't pay attention to what your government's doing, you can guarantee they're paying attention to you. So, you need to stay vigilant.
Okay? Yeah, you might not care about the government, but the government cares about you.
And you know, another thing that has these legislators, these lawyers, who are making the laws that they're supposed to be practicing, and they put, not only that, these lawyers who are legislators appoint the judges who are going to be presiding over the trials that these lawyers go and practice their law in front of, right? So another thing that's got them scared to death is this Alec Murdoch case down in Lowcountry, because a lot of these dirty bastards are involved with this dude. They all go to the same parties. They all use the same prostitutes. They all snort the same drugs. Everything.
It's going to be a limited hangout, babe. A limited hangout. They're going to damn knock off exactly who they need to knock off, and it's going no higher than that.
Well, what?
Just like, the guy that didn't hang himself.
Yeah, but you know who Murdoch's chief counsel is, his defender, his lawyer is?
Oh, Harpootlian.
Dick Harpootlian, who's a senator.
Yeah, Dick came after me when he was the head of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And Chad Conley came after me because I stood on principle. And
them fools hate some
They hate anybody on the outside. They're a freaking mafia, y'all. They are a freaking mafia.
It's disgusting.
I don't care where you go.
Yeah.
Just like here in our local neighborhood.
Yeah.
And speaking of that,
moving on from the state level.
On our last story of the day.
The local level. What we're going to talk about is work is about to begin on the Kershaw County Comprehensive Plan. All right, this comprehensive plan is supposed to span, 10 years? It's mandated under the Home Rule Act. And what was the Home Rule Act? What started that?
Well,
was it Reconstruction after the Civil War?
Yeah, but this part of it actually flows out of the 1994 Comprehensive Planning Act passed under Clinton.
Yeah.
And first started with H.W. Bush in Rio.
New World Order.
In Rio with Agenda 21.
Yeah.
Now, we signed that, but it was a non-binding thing,
mm-hmm.
so you didn't have to take it before Congress and all.
Right.
So they implemented it through regulations.
Comprehensive Plan Act and NAFTA.
Yeah.
And that sort of stuff. And it's basically a massive redistribution of wealth, which is really, we all know, we've seen it with the COVID and the Rona bucks. It's just a money laundering scheme, just like Ukraine and just like Afghanistan was before that. It's a money laundering scheme. The government gives out all this money, and then they tax the shit out of you and steal it back, right?
Mm-hmm.
And really, all they're doing is giving you some digits. There's no money. They're not giving you cash. They're not giving you gold. They just give you a check, right? And then the Federal Reserve
rectangles, like I call them, little rectangles.
Did you see that video I posted of that dude who, Wozniak, I think he lives in Mexico now, but he has a printing press down there. They print him $2 bills.
Hell yeah.
And they're legit $2 bills. He said, I've had them checked over and over by the Secret Service. They say they're legit. They're good. They're legal tender. So he had his whole notebook of them. He held up this book like this. And he just flips through all these $2 bills. And he said, you can still smell the ink. They smell like cash you get from the bank. He said, I spend them all the time. And I had the Secret Service come and check it out. And they said, no, this is a legal tender.
Huh.
And, but yeah, that's just all it is. The Federal Reserve just taking on debt, enslaving our government, enslaving our people. And
The government uses these mandates and grants and all this kind of stuff to
counsel
coerce you into doing the way they want things done.
Right.
And then they fund education and higher education through their foundations and stuff like the Rockefellers and all that.
Yeah.
And they like these planning companies, like Kershaw County has got some outfit out of Chicago.
Right.
They've previously used Alliance Consulting. There's several of them
They're contracting out their central planning.
Yeah.
Instead of them actually having central planning.
To these guys that went to these Marxist, communist places to learn how to centrally plan a beautiful, smart city.
Well, you know where the roots of this come from is a very racist central planning, or they call it city planning. So back when they had the massive immigration from Ireland and Italy, they said, well, we can't have this riffraff mingling with us. So they came up with city planning and green space, they call it. And a lot of people, you'll hear that word, green space.
Yeah.
So you had the
buffer zone.
You had the city park, and then you had green space, and then you have the ghetto on this side where all the Irish and the Italians and the black folks lived. And then over here was the hoity-toity rich folks, the originals. You know, they didn't want them to come across.
You see that,
and that's where the local police came from. The constable on patrol, the cops. These would hire these local cops, and they'd bust their skulls. You come across this green space here, we're gonna bust your skulls. And that's exactly. And they kept the politicians in power. Yeah. So right now we have this comprehensive plan that we contracted with this company out of Chicago to help do this comprehensive plan. We also have a planning and zoning committee that can steer this central planning, whatever.
Well, how many people are on this?
There's 7 on the central planning, 6 that's supposed to be representing the 6 districts.
Right.
And then you have a 1 seat that is an at-large seat that the council
chair. Right, kind of like county council would be.
But out of those 6 people, 3 of the folks are from District 2.
3 in 1 district.
3 of them are from 1 district, District 2, which is downtown Camden.
What? Downtown Camden?
Yeah.
Exactly. Boys and girls, friends and neighbors, do you think there is an unholy alliance here?
And who was pushing shoving it down our throat right before he left office?
The King of Ayers, Julie Burns.
His ghost is still roaming the halls of the government center on Walnut Street.
Yeah, yeah. He's like a heavy fart.
So my question...
It stinks for a while.
Lingers. My question to the county council was, what can we do about this? Because these people were appointed, right? They were voted and appointed. It's not this current county council's fault that these people are there, but we need to have equal representation. You should have 1 person from each district represented on this.
You would think that would have been
but it's another case of people weren't paying attention to what their government was doing, so the government just went ahead and did whatever the hell they want. Which I mean Julian Burns.
Well, I'm guilty of it because that I remember when that was coming up and all.
Well, they spread it out.
They spread one
appointment here, then 6 months later there'd be another appointment, 6 months later, and you didn't even notice until all of a sudden you started looking at it like, wait a second, how the hell is that?
I'll admit, it's hard to keep up with, especially when they bounce it around and everything, where it makes it difficult. Purposely obfuscating.
Yes.
It's not that they're holding it back.
No, they're doing
that
3-card Monty.
Yeah.
You know,
pick a card.
They're playing a different game.
I'm sorry. Pick another one.
Try $5. I'll give you to pick another one. So the questions are, what can we do to get equal representation? Or can we remove 2 of those folks out of District 2 and have this equal representation on this Planning and Zoning Commission? What would we like to see in our comprehensive plan? So like we were talking before we started recording, Jeff, that we could just have a laissez-faire approach and say whatever happens, this happens. You know,
we're let planning the free market, on being free.
Yeah, let the free market decide.
Being free.
Yeah, right? Or we could say, you know what? We don't want any houses. We don't want any neighborhoods built that are going to have more than one house on an acre, right? And this is where you're kind of walking a very fine line. You know, it's for you, it's black and white. Right, it's either freedom or the too much government involvement.
Yeah,
right? And I usually fall on that way of looking, thinking about it. But I am also on the side of preserving our rural county.
Well, let me say this: if Kershaw County was not in the sewer business, mm-hmm. do you think the growth would be like it is over there?
Not no.
With the Federal Reserve print money hand over fist and bringing interest rates down to near zero for 20 years, do you think that affected your growth?
Oh, hell yeah.
Both of those are government things, okay? Mm-hmm. Your state coming in here and saying, we're going to fund this or that. And
we're going to widen the roads here. We're going to put an intersection here.
Yeah, we're going to do whatever we're going to do. Does that affect the growth and the
does.
So less government. If we have free market interest rates for mortgages right now, we'd probably be up into 15%
at least. Top. Yeah. Oh yeah. At least.
That growth is going to stop.
It's getting there. It's
creeping up, it's, go, it's going up. To stop mm-hmm. when the Federal Reserve blows up. Get out of the sewer business, one thing.
Yeah.
Get out of the sewer business. The government have no business running utilities to begin with.
No.
And get out of the way. Get out off of private property. Get off of all the private property. Planning and zoning needs to be the doors shuttered.
Right.
Yes, the doors shuttered.
Yeah. If you want to build a deck on your house.
Build deck.
Build the deck.
You're liable.
If you and your family are out there.
Insurance company is liable.
Exactly.
The bank's liable.
If you and your family are out there grilling and that deck falls off your house and you all die, that's your fault. You built a shitty deck. That's your fault.
And if you sell it and it's inspected and blah, blah, blah.
Right. Insurance
the government
companies.
Gives you a – the government is like a pacifier.
Yeah.
And when you pull it out, they whine like hell.
I'd say it's more like a tip.
But grow up. Grow up.
Yes.
Quit being little kids and have your little daddy do every damn thing for you. Mm. That's what it's all about. Freedom is dangerous. Get used to it.
Yeah. Tough.
I think that's it.
That's it. I wanted to read one more thing. There was an incident that happened this weekend.
An extra added bonus, y'all.
Yeah.
An incident. A sad one.
A sad incident happened this weekend. I'm just going to read from the paper. The headline says 17-year-old girl dies in a crash after fleeing from a deputy. Written by Martin Kahn. A 17-year-old girl died in a single-vehicle car crash after fleeing from a deputy in Lugoff early Sunday morning. Kershaw County Coroner David West identified the girl, but I'm not going to read her name because she's underage. West said that she was a senior at Camden High School. West said she was driving a Toyota Corolla. Kershaw County Sheriff Lee Bones said one of his deputies was on a patrol round 1 a.m. Sunday when they noticed, it's he, I'm going to say it, he noticed two cars parked in the side lot of the Dollar General store. You see how they're protecting the deputy in the sheriff's office, but they put this young lady's name out there, right?
That's not right. That makes me angry.
So this deputy noticed two cars parked on the side lot of Dollar General store on US 1 South in Lugoff, just outside the Saddlebrook community. Suspicious. I'm going to try not to editorialize this at all. I'm just going to read it. This is a quote from Lee Bone. We had just had an alarm call three nights before when our guys had found a door open, Bone said, explaining that his deputy drove up to investigate why two cars would be there at such a late hour, especially since the side lot is where the open door had been found during the alarm call. The deputy drove up, got out of his patrol car, and approached the two vehicles. As they did so, a young man standing by one of the cars began cooperating with the deputy. Meanwhile, the person in the Corolla, later identified as the young lady, suddenly backed up over a curb and took off at a high rate of speed toward the Lugoff-Elgin High School area. The deputy got back in his patrol vehicle and attempted to follow the fleeing car. I'll tell you right now, that's different than what Lee Bone put out on Facebook. So y'all go look at that post and then come back and watch this again. Bone said his deputy did not know who was in the Corolla and did not know why they were fleeing. Just as the deputy began to catch up, the driver made a sudden left turn on Richardson Boulevard and apparently traveled too fast for the turn, struck a large tree. It was only after the crash that deputies discovered that the driver was this young lady, who was pronounced dead at the scene. West said she was not wearing a seatbelt. Sunday afternoon, Bones said it was still unclear why she fled. Quote, "We're still investigating, but we have no evidence that they were doing anything illegal," end quote. Bones said that the young lady and the young man had met there. This sentence is all goofy. I'm guessing they met at the Dollar General. The sheriff said the South Carolina Highway Patrol's MATE unit, which is the multidisciplinary accident investigation team, was called in to investigate the crash since it took place on US 1 and a deputy was involved. Bone asked that the public be patient while the investigation is conducted. Quote, "I ask that everyone shows compassion." This is a quote from Lee Bone. "I ask that everyone shows compassion and respect for the young lady's family as they go through this unimaginable period in their lives. The most important fact we know at this time is that a loving family lost a precious child. Please keep them in your prayers," Bone said in a press release issued later in the day. All right, so that is something I agree with the sheriff. We need to show some compassion for this family and understand that this is a horrible situation. Not only is it horrible for this family, but the deputy who was probably just following policy and procedure and doing what he was trained to do, right?
It's sad. It's sad all around. There are questions that need to be answered, sure. and to get closure. Yeah. I mean,
and you know, we know the track record of Lee Bone and his supposed transparency. We'll deal with that when the time comes. They're having visitation, I believe, as we speak, and a memorial service will be this weekend, and the burial will be this weekend. So if you knew this young lady, please show up for the family, show them your respects and compassion and how much you care for this girl.
Be sure to put them in your prayers.
Yeah. This young lady was 17 years old. She was very involved in the community. She was getting ready to graduate high school early. She's on like an honor society, all this stuff. So there's so many questions of why this happened. There was a bunch of assholes on Facebook talking about, well, don't run from the cops and this won't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, true. Yeah. But I said, well, maybe it's time we start to have a conversation about the hot pursuit policy. Like, when do we start chasing vehicles? Was it really necessary?
Yeah,
that's a conversation to be had later.
Yeah.
But it's definitely a conversation we need to have, because I think this is the fourth person.
We have to talk about policing in general.
Yes.
And the whole system. And we're not. Everybody knows that it's broken.
Yes.
Some people know it's broken and they're okay with it. And it's not just police.
Yeah.
It's not just the court system. It's not just the legislatures. It's not just the bureaucracies. It's not just all. It's all of it.
People, too. Just the human beings in general.
Well, yeah. And it's manifest destiny. And I want to explore more of that
saw from a few people is just the cold-heartedness of the citizens. You know, like, how can people be so cold-hearted about this and say some of the shit they were saying?
Well, I think that comes from the indoctrination of obedience to the state, and that's something that they've robbed the idea as the state is a fire that can burn you and ultimately kill you into this benevolent caretaker, and we should be antagonistic toward the state at every corner.
I agree.
I did a video today about how the public education system does not teach you your natural born rights and how to exercise them. Do you understand what that means? That means the state is not going to teach you about your rights and how to exercise them. Did you learn any of that in screw all?
No.
The 12 years plus that you did.
No, they'll say the First Amendment is the freedom of speech. The Second Amendment is right to bear. That's as deep as it goes. All right. Thank you, folks, for tuning in, watching the show. Let us know what you think. Comment below. Like, share, subscribe, all that bull jive.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah.
Thank you. Thanks for coming out, Jeff.
Yeah, we're having a good time.
Having a good time.
In a black world.
Next week, Tuesday, we have a county council meeting.
County council meeting.
6 p.m., 515 Walnut Street in Camden.
Love to see y'all there.
Yeah, cause show up and see what's going on. Remember, like I said, pay attention to what they're doing because they're paying attention to you.
Come on up and talk to us. We don't bite.
All right. See ya.
Later.
If a government claims a right, and then their claim is that they derive these rights from the people.
Right.
Well, how can people give a group rights that they don't themselves have?
To steal from each other.
Right. If we can't tax people, like I can't tax you, where exactly does government derive this right from? You realize that the goal ought to be as voluntary a society as possible. Now, how exactly you achieve that, how far you can push that is debatable, but certainly that should be the goal, that if government is providing a service for you, well then why does it need to be provided by force?